The sluggish economic recovery from the depths of the Great Recession that began in 2008 hasn't yet reached the nation's poor middle class, according to a recent U.S. Census Bureau report for 2012. The data reveals that as 2 million more jobs were created last year and the nation's corporations raked in big profits, the average income of American households remained frozen. Further, the report found that 46.5 million people are living below the poverty line in America, or 15% of the total population, the same rate as in 2011, but a larger overall number. Poverty income is calculated at $23,492 in annual income for a family of four. Those living in poverty included an estimated 16.1 million children and 3.9 million senior citizens aged 65 years or older. Many of the jobs created since 2008 have been in the service sector, with hourly pay at or near the minimum wage. The stagnating economy has provoked new labor union organizing drives among poorly paid retail and fast food workers. About the only good news in the census report was a slight decline in the number of people without health insurance, attributed in part to the new Affordable Care Act. Your reporter spoke with Columbia University Adjunct Professor of Social Work, Stephen Pimpere, author of the book A People's History of Poverty in America. Here he assesses the significance of the Census Bureau data and public policy options to alleviate poverty and reverse the nation's growing income inequality.
15% of the population overall was poor. That was 26% for Hispanics, 27% for African Americans, 22% for children under the age of 18, and 9% for people over the age of 65. So we see a lot of variation, official rates that are almost twice as high for Hispanics and African Americans, and just under that for children, and not quite half the rate for those over the age of 65. So we see lots of that kind of variation, higher in the South than it is in the North, which has historically always been true, but somehow winds up surprising people, I think. I think too often people tend to think of poverty as this northern and urban phenomenon, and in fact, it's consistently higher in the South and consistently higher in non-metropolitan areas than it is in metropolitan areas.
How much of what we're seeing here in terms of the really negative numbers in terms of income and poverty owes to the Great Recession that started in 2007, 2008? And how much of this is really owing to longer-term trends?
Yeah, well, it's I mean, that 15% rate, that's about 2.5 percentage points higher than it was prior to the onset of the Great Recession. So make no mistake, there have certainly been fairly profound effects of that recession, which for, in technical economic terms, has ended, but of course in terms of the actual well-being of large numbers of the American public continues on. But I mean, I think that there's a larger story here about the continued high rates of poverty. As I said, it's about where it was in the early 90s, about where it was in the early 80s. We haven't seen a long period of consistent decline in the poverty rate since the period in the immediate years after World War II. That in fact, since 1973, pick almost any indicator that you would like of economic well-being, and what you find is Americans either in stagnation or things getting worse.
The Republican Party has targeted the poor for cuts in food stamps, unemployment insurance. There's wide discussion of cutting back major pieces of the social safety net like Medicare and Social Security. And even President Obama has, entered the race to the bottom with offers of the chain CPI, which would effectively cut back people's Social Security benefits.
Yep.
What can we learn from other countries in how they have bolstered the poor and given them a leg up so they can participate more fully in the economy? Maybe you could speak to the kinds of public policies we need to implement here in this country as opposed to the scapegoating policies.
I'll say in some ways, I think of that as actually the easy part, the policy part. I mean, if we look at the rest of the world, Pretty much every other rich democracy on the planet has a lower rate of poverty than we do, a lower rate of child poverty, lower rates of inequality, et cetera. They all go about doing that in different kinds of ways. They structure their programs in different ways. They finance them in different ways. And some do this more effectively than others. But there is absolutely no shortage of programs around the world that we could look at to think about how to that demonstrated ways of reducing poverty. Moreover, we could look at what we've done here in the United States, right? I mean, it's prior to 1959, right, the year when we've got sort of the first official set of Census Bureau data, highest poverty rate among every any demographic group in the United States were people over the age of 65. Today, lowest poverty rate among any demographic group is people over the age of 65. Why? Social Security and, to a lesser extent, Medicare. Right. How did we reduce poverty among poor people? We gave them money, right? We send old people a check every month, and that makes them less poor. Right now, obviously, it's a bit more complicated than that, but I don't think it's terribly more complicated than that, right? I mean, there's that kind of direct relation. We do this in poor families with the earned income tax credit, right? Sort of the more hours you work, if you have low wages, you not only get taxes back from the IRS, but maybe something over and above that. Probably the greatest anti-poverty effects of any program we've got other than Social Security itself. Right? We even have programs already in operation here that have enormously powerful anti-poverty reduction effects. Right? I mean, as bad as things are, without the American social welfare safety net, poverty rates would be at least twice what they are now. So they're failing because we've still got 15% of the population, 46 million people in poverty, but that would be closer to 80 million, maybe 100 million in the absence of that, right? The challenge is the politics, right? The challenge is the politics because it doesn't matter how rational and effective a policy is. We've got a political system right now that is dysfunctional, to say the least, and I think is tipping over into the edge of something that goes beyond merely dysfunctional. And I think that's a larger kind of problem that we need to confront before we worry about whether we're designing good policy.
That was Columbia University adjunct professor of social work Stephen Pimpare, author of the book A People's History of Poverty in America. For more analysis and commentary on the effects of the stagnating U.S. economy, visit our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.